All right, it is 11 a.m. It feels like 10, though, doesn't it? Happy Daylight Savings Time, right? All right, let's go ahead and stand to our feet as we begin worship together.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Yeah, the blood of Jesus is enough. Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. The blood of Jesus is enough. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I'm glad you're here this morning. You guys talk amongst yourselves a bit. Thank you. check, 1, 2. Yeah, if you can compress it so that he can talk back here, kind of far away from the mic, but you can still hear.
Thank y'all. I thank you for that rousing start. I've only done this about 2 or 3 times, and each time I've been the one that's up here first. And so that's quite a way to start with the precious blood of Jesus. So again, I thank you very much. So let's get started. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Redeemer Bible Church this lovely March morning. If you're first time or a recent guest, I want to tell you, you may notice that there's a word Bible in the middle of our name. I was struck this week. I was listening to someone talk, and that name is there. That word Bible is there because we have a desire to understand life from God's point of view. And some of them can say, well, we want to understand God's word, or you want to understand his world, both here and the eternal domain, so we read God's word. So that's why that word there, Bible, is important to us, and it's in our name. Turning to just some upcoming activities, there will be a first-time chili cook-off. I believe it's the first time. I've been going here 12 or 13 years or so I don't remember one previous to this year, but this is going to be a great event. It'll be here this coming Saturday, the 18th, from 4 to 6. Now, let me try to bring up a little prop here. In the foyer, now we've got several ways to sign up for this. We're needing to sign up so we don't know how many chili pots to expect. So, and what all. So, the church app has a way to sign on using the church app. And in your bulletin, if you go far enough down there, it'll actually, in other words, if you use the app, it's on your phone. If you don't have that on your phone, then there's a website, and you can go use the website. And it has the same features, or pretty much the same features as the app. So there's 3 ways to sign up. One is to go to the back of the foyer and use this very well-done form. Talks about, yes, I'll bring some chili. You can check that off. If you're not going to bring chili, there's some other things that exhort you to bring. And so 3 ways to do this. But please come. By the way, if you win, this will be a little bit of a judgment, you know, because chili cook-offs, there's usually somebody looking or tasting the chili. The prize is bragging rights till we have the next one. So that's kind of the way things are right now. Okay? All right. So moving right along, there's going to be later on in the end of the month, there's going to be an opportunity to participate or to learn in a CPR training class that'll be held here on a Wednesday night. That's the 29th. I believe it starts at 6 o'clock. There'll be more information on that as time comes by. There's not a way, again, there will be a way on the church app to sign up for that, and please do that. I didn't see any forms at the back on that, but again, the church app would be something there to use. And there'll be 2 people there teaching CPR. Now, this is not to get you certification. That would be a much more aggressive type of training. It would. This is the type of training that just the basics you need to help someone that's in trouble and they're needing that kind of CPR type help. And we were said today, one of the people holding that class basically said, "Hey, if you don't think you're strong enough to do CPR, don't worry. When someone's life is at stake, the Lord will provide the adrenaline it takes for you to do the effort." So it's a very worthwhile thing to learn. Also, on April the 1st, the men's prayer breakfast will have a Dr. Jay Smith. He's from DTS. And I understand that his goal is to help us defeat distraction and our natural impulses and to retain the heart and to retrain our heart and mind. That's a very worthwhile thing, so I'll try to link that in just a moment. Excuse me. Before we have our invocation and prayer, I'm going to quote and read two quick verses. The first one is Psalms 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And then in Isaiah 26:3, he says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So we are gathered in his name, and we're approaching God. We are to respect him by removing the cares of the common things and the thoughts and fears of our week. It may be hard for us to do that. We have deep needs, many of us, and we have all types of things we feel at the moment. But we will ask in the prayer, we will ask the Lord to help us remove those things that we need to remove as we approach him. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you. We come before you in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that sets us apart and makes us safe and acceptable for the holy space, the sacred space that you occupy, Lord. We know that two or more gathered, you are in our midst. And we are thankful, Lord, for your saving blood that helps us meet you. Father, we recognize the covenant that you gave Abraham many years ago, the covenant of promise, not law, but the covenant of promise. And you helped seal that promise, Lord, or perfect it when you presented your blood on the cross of Calvary. And we want to say, Lord, yes, you are Lord and Savior, and we are thankful for the blood on that cross. We're thankful, Lord, that you're our God. We thankful again that you bring us together. We want to ask you, Lord, to remember our brother Terry McCullough and his surgery this coming week. And we just ask you, Lord, to help him, that surgery, to be highly effective and to be back in the next few weeks, again, being the administrator and being the guy who tracks down the plumber and the air conditioning and helps this place be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Psalm 91 is one of my favorite psalms, and it has a verse in there that says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you can take refuge. Today's Bible verse is in Psalm 57, in which David finds himself cowering in a cave because he's being pursued by Saul. Saul was on a relentless journey to try to kill David. And he was in a cave taking refuge just as the pinions and wings of God covered him. While he was in that cave, he had a decision to make of whether to listen to the little angel on the right shoulder or the angel on the left shoulder. The angel on the left shoulder was telling him to be fearful for his life from Saul. The angel on the right was telling him to trust in the promises or promise that God told him earlier that he would have an heir to rule forever on the throne of Israel. Of course, we know now that was Jesus Christ, but he didn't know that at the time. He had to make a choice. Do I trust the circumstances and fear, or do I trust God and the promise? So he made the right decision. He chose well, which leads us to Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. Will you all please stand as we read his response. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. Y'all can be seated. Thank you.
So he said y'all could be seated, but I'm going to ask everybody to please stand again as we continue to worship together.
Holy, holy, holy.
in the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice.
How great,
how great. And the clay.
You make.
You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. There's a healing light, it's just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. Make all things work together for your glory, for your name, for your name. Oh. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. Oh, you're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay.
I want us to take a moment and go back into that chorus. No matter what we're facing, that we're going to proclaim that that's true, that He's working all things together for our good, but ultimately for His glory. Amen.
You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay.
go to him in prayer. Lord, thank you that as this song states, that you're working all things together, and sometimes it's very confusing for us because we don't see the big tapestry. We don't see how you see it. For now, we see in part. Later, we will see in full when we are like you. We long for that day. We look forward to that day. But right now, you are still working on us. As we're on our path to sanctification, you're building us up. And sometimes things have to be broken down to be built up stronger. And sometimes we go through that as well. And so I pray no matter what season we're in, God, that you would just be so close to us and you would direct us and guide us. And as we open your word, you would take us exactly to what we need to know, because that's how good you are, God. And I pray that we would just trust in you no matter what's happening in our lives, and we would know that you're working everything together for good. In your name I pray, amen.
Well, good morning, Redeemer. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I have kind of a pretty crazy task ahead of me. It's 11:34 already. What are we going to do? Buckle up. Here we go. This past week, I watched a video, and there was some urban explorers who were taking a tour of an abandoned church. And it was a mega church. It was a huge church. Back in the day, it was about a 10,000-person church. It was built to be a 10,000-person church in it, but the building had now been abandoned. And so they're just touring, you know, kind of videotaping their thing. And can I tell you this? It was depressing to watch. I had to watch all the way into the end of it because I needed to see it, but it was depressing to watch. As they went through the sanctuary, the lighting equipment that they had, they couldn't even light up the whole sanctuary because it was so huge. It was designed originally to house 10,000 people on a Sunday morning, but now it was dark, dusty, dirty, damp, I'm sure. And then they went to another part of the building, and it was a meeting room of some kind, maybe a fellowship hall or something. And you could see that it used to be at one time this beautiful room because there were these arches, just really beautiful arches and nice open windows. And then there's water on the floor, graffiti on the walls. It was depressing. Went up to the nursery, one of the nurseries, and we're going around there, and the carpet was all dirty and moldy and there was these posters on the wall. There was these children's ministry posters on the wall. It's depressing. The image that got me, that really stuck with me, is they worked their way up to the catwalk above the sanctuary, and there was a machine. There were machines up there. There were four identical machines, and they didn't know what they were. They were like, "What are these things?" And I recognized them right away because they're young and I'm old. But I saw they were projectors. The old school projectors, but I know enough a little bit about projectors to know at one time those were cutting edge projectors. It was four of them. The one lamp that was red, one that was green, and one that was blue. I knew what it was, and I said, in the day, that was the thing to have. It was depressing. Seeing this huge building that you know at one time was used well, and it was just a beautiful place, and there was people everywhere, and now it's abandoned, sat abandoned for many, many years. It's depressing. In a similar way, there is also something else that at times is depressing similar to that, and that's the walking dead believers. Walking dead believers are those people who at one time had a vibrant faith, who had a live faith, but then for various reasons have gotten to the place in their life where they're pretty much dead. People who used to get up early in the morning just because they had to spend some time reading through the Bible and some time in just a real passionate communication with God in prayer. And now they've gotten to the place in their life where they're barely rolling themselves out of bed. Maybe they real quickly look up a couple of verses and shoot up a prayer on the way out the door. These walking dead believers who at one point in their life they were so interested to learn about God that they had books on their table and shelves, and they were just, I'm reading all, they'd stay up late at night flipping through these books, reading as long as they could until they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they're like, all right, I'll hit it again tomorrow. And now they're sitting in front of the TV, flipping the channels, watching news or late night programs. It's depressing. Walking dead believers who at one point in their life couldn't help but sing their worship songs or hymns or the tune that was stuck in their head of worship to God, and they would sing it, they would hum it, they'd whistle all day, and it was like, what's wrong with that person? But now you see them on a Sunday morning, and when they're in a church service, you can barely even hear their voice. It's depressing. It's depressing to see someone who at one point had such a vibrant faith, had such a vibrant, intimate relationship with Jesus, and now it's faded. The question that I want to answer this morning is, how do you wake up Jesus' intimacy? How do you wake up that Jesus' intimacy in the lives of our friends and our family members and our neighbors? And more importantly, how do we wake up that Jesus intimacy that we used to have, or that maybe you used to have? How do we wake up that Jesus intimacy? And this morning we're going to read we're going back to our series in the book of Revelation, and Jesus writes a letter to a church who would probably be classified as walking dead believers. They were dead. Their vitality had gone past them. And so Jesus writes them and he tells them, this is what you do to get that intimacy with me back. This is how you do it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to walk through that letter. I'm going to read through that letter here in a little bit. I'm going to give you some steps. And the reason that I'm giving you those steps, my hope is that I can give you these steps so that if you're in a place in your life where you need to get that Jesus intimacy back, you'll know how to do it. And if you have a friend or a family member who needs to get that Jesus intimacy back, you can know how to do it too from the lips of Jesus and what he says. So turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation, the book of Revelation. And we are going through our mini-series here through the seven churches, the seven letters to the churches in Asia. And today we're talking about the letter to the church in Sardis. And the church in Sardis, the letter is in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, where we see the steps that Jesus gives them in order for them to wake up intimacy with Jesus. The first thing that Jesus tells them is his review. You can wake up Jesus' intimacy with review. Now, when I hear review, that sounds boring to me right off the bat. Like, we're covering ground we've already covered, right? And review sounds boring and sounds uneventful, sounds unproductive, but sometimes we need review. And that's Jesus' point here. Look with me at verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Verse 2, wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Just the first part of verse 3. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. The first part of this first one just talks about who the letter is from and who the letter is to. And we know it's to the church in Sardis. This is the church in Asia Minor. And it was written from Jesus. The description there is a description of who Jesus is. And he's saying, I'm the one writing this. And we know from earlier in the book that Jesus is giving this command. He tells John, write these letters. And so the apostle John is writing the letter. And the letter starts off, Jesus says this, I know all the things that you do. He's addressing this church and he says, listen, I know what you do. The context here, also the implication is, I know what you're also not doing. I know what you're doing now, and in comparison with the things that you used to do, I know what you're doing. And he says, I know, and that you have a reputation for being alive. A reputation is gained by something that was done in the past. And Jesus is saying, I understand. You are a church who has a reputation for being alive. Your conduct in the past was such that people looked at you and said, church at Sardis is alive. It's growing. It's powerful. It's something is happening there. Jesus says, I get it. I understand. Everybody else looks at you and says, you used to be an alive church. But then the sobering words, but you are dead. Ouch. Verse 2, wake up, strengthen what little remains. Jesus looks at him over, I know you got a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Be alert. Open up your eyes. Be aware of what's going on. Wake up and strengthen what little remains. In the church, there were these little pockets of things that were still okay. And Jesus is saying, find those and send them to the gym. Strengthen what little remains. And then he cautions, for even what is left is almost dead. Ouch. Oh, and then it just gets a little bit worse. I find your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Jesus said, you're not even doing the bare minimum. Earth-shattering words to hear from Jesus to this church. He said, okay, that's your condition. That's where you're at. It is what it is. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. You want to get out of this mess you're in? Go back to what you heard and believed at the beginning. And what they heard and believed at the beginning is just the same thing that you and I heard at the beginning too. It's the good news. Just saying, go back to the good news. And the good news is that God loves you and that you have sin and that sin is separating you from God. And it's fundamental, right? And we're kind of like, yeah, I know that. I know that. I know that. And Jesus says, go back to what you heard and believed at the beginning. Go back to the good news. And a little bit of what Jesus is doing here is he's trying to wake up this church. There's a product called a smelling salt. I don't know if you've ever smelled one. I never have. I've heard about them. And what a smelling salt is it's a device that a nurse or a paramedic can give to a person who's fainted or is unconscious, and they kind of put it up under their nose, and the smell is so obnoxious, the smell is so ridiculous that it wakes the person up. And so that's a little bit of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, go back to the ridiculousness of what you believed and heard at the beginning. It'll wake you up. It'll bring you back to the vibrant living that you had, but you don't have anymore. And the problem is for all of us, is we can become so familiar with the gospel, with the good news, we can become so familiar with it that it doesn't sound ridiculous to us anymore. It doesn't sound that way in our ears, but think about it for a minute. Do you remember the moment, maybe when you first became a believer, or maybe it was when you had a recommitment experience in your life? Do you remember the time when you understood just how big God really is? Do you remember that moment? And you felt like half of a piece of dust sitting on the table. And you're just like, do you remember that moment where God was infinite and you were so tiny? And then you remember he loved you. That's ridiculous. Why would God, who can do anything, go anywhere, be anything he wants to be, why would he love you? Do you remember that moment? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the infinite God would love me and you. It's ridiculous. That's what Jesus is saying. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the part that's ridiculous. That part that God loves you. So how do we wake up an intimacy with Jesus? First, we got to review the good news. Second, restraint. Second is restraint. Look with me at the phrase in the middle of verse 3. Verse 3 starts off, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Now hold to it firmly. Jesus says, go back to what you learned at the beginning, and once you get it, hold on to it firmly. Wrap your fingers around it and hold on to it tightly. And in a strange way, doing that actually wakes us up. A number of years ago, I was visiting with a truck driver, a professional truck driver, and I was just talking to him about what was going on. And I, you know, we were just talking about driving on the road. And I said, yeah, I have this real big problem with falling asleep while I'm driving. He says, I got a solution for you, buddy. This is what you need to do. Go to the bank, get out a $100 bill. Take the $100 bill. Put it in your hand real tightly and put your hand out the window as you're driving. He said, I'll keep you awake the whole time. Now, to be fair, I never tried it because I didn't think I could lose $100. I'm just telling you because I didn't think it would work. But the concept is this, is that when you hold something that's so precious, that's so valuable, and you might lose it, or the fear of losing it, or you understand that, then that wakes you up. That's a little bit of what Jesus is saying here is go back to what you heard at the beginning. Go back to what you believed and hold to it firmly. Hold to it firmly because it's got value. There's value to what you hold in your hand. And the problem for us is that we hear the good news talked about so many times. We hear it oftentimes on a Sunday morning. We hear it on the radio. We hear it so many times. It's not that we don't think it's valuable. It just doesn't seem like that big of a deal anymore. But you know, do you remember when, early in your walk, if you're a believer, do you remember that moment where you felt the crushing weight of the guilt? Do you remember that moment when there was a ton of bricks would have been lighter on your shoulders? When you had that moment where you looked back and you said, God, why would you love me? I've done this and this and this and this, the whole list. And that guilt was like a ton of bricks over the top of us. We couldn't move. There was no possible way to get out from underneath the weight of that guilt. And Jesus said, I got that. And he took it off you. Do you remember that? Do you remember that moment when your guilt that you couldn't handle was taken away? Remember that. Jesus is saying, how can we have an intimacy with Jesus? How do we wake that up? I said, first of all, remember, review the good news. Second of all, hold on to it with restraint. Hold on to it tightly. And then the last thing he says is repent. Look with me at the end of verse 3. He says, repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5, all who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus tells this church, here's the deal. You got to repent. Repent of the way that you've been living and how you've been conducting. Repent and turn to me. And then he paints this wonderful, wonderful picture. He's saying, repent. If you don't repent, I will come to you at a time when you don't expect it. This complete lack of intimacy with Christ. Like, oh, I didn't know you were coming. I had no idea that you were going to be here. Jesus is saying, I will come at a time when you don't expect it. If you don't repent, if you don't change the way you're living, I'm going to come at a time you're not going to expect me. But among you, there are some people who have it completely differently. Look at this picture he paints. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white. Those people will walk around wherever they're at with Jesus. Jesus says, they're going to be hanging out with me. They're going to be wearing white clothes, and the white indicates moral purity. Their moral purity, and Jesus said, I have moral purity, and we're going to hang out together. Such a different contrast from the person who didn't even know Jesus was coming. He's saying, these people, we're going to hang out together. We're going to walk around together. And he keeps going. It says, I will never erase their names from the book of life. They will walk around with me in white forever. An absolute picture of intimacy. And Jesus goes even further and he says this, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Jesus, not that God doesn't know this, but Jesus is going to say, that one, he's mine. And Jesus is painting two images here. The image of those who have repented, that they're going to walk around with Jesus, they're going to hang out with him, and they're going to understand that intimate relationship with Jesus. They're going to have that. And he tells the people in Sardis, listen, if you don't repent, you're not going to have that. I'm going to come back at a time when you're not expecting. You're like, whoa, I didn't know you were coming. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Repent. So you can be like this and have that intimate relationship with me. First part of this verse, Jesus tells them to repent. I really hope I don't fall here. I almost fell earlier when I did this. I'm getting too old for these kind of illustrations. Now, if I were to finish the sermon from up here, which I'm not going to do, don't worry. But if I were to finish the sermon from here, I've got all of your attention. I'm looking around and every single one of you is looking at me. You know why you're looking at me? Because I'm doing something different. Plus, it looks kind of funny seeing an old guy up on top of a bench like this, right? Okay, I'm going to get down now. All right, okay, there we go. So, that's why Jesus said, repent. You want to wake up your spiritual life? Do something different. Turn back to me. And you may have come into this service here this morning, and you may, as you're listening along, you're like, I never really thought about it, but I've kind of gotten to the place in my life where I've kind of lost track of the good news. It doesn't have that ridiculous nature in my head anymore. It's not something that's in the forefront of my mind that pushes me every day. It's easy. Jesus said, just repent. Change what you're doing. Come back to him. It's simple. It's not to be complex. Repent and turn back to an intimacy with Jesus. That's what he wants. And deep down, that's what we want as well. This morning, I posed the question for you. How do we wake up an intimacy with Jesus? How do we wake up an intimacy with Jesus? And first part is review. We just need to review the aspects of the good news. God loves us. We've sinned. Christ paid the penalty for us. Just review it. Second of all, hold on to it tightly. Understand and embrace the value that is there. Understand really how much of a difference that's made in your life and hold on to it tightly. And the last thing he said was, listen, if you're not doing it, if you're not on that path, then repent and turn back. We have a ridiculous activity scheduled for this Saturday night. Absolutely ridiculous. We're having a chili cook-off here at the church. And it's ridiculous. Let me tell you why it's ridiculous. Because here's the plan. We're going to invite a bunch of people to the chili cook-off. They're going to come in. They're going to meet a bunch of you. They're going to meet me. Maybe they shouldn't meet me. Okay. Well, anyway, they're going to meet a bunch of you guys. And they're going to have a good time. And then they're maybe hopefully going to come back for Easter. And at some point along the line, maybe they're going to start coming to church here and they're going to hear the good news. And when they hear the good news, hopefully some of them will say, you know what, I'm not a believer. I want to become a believer. I'm going to be a believer. And we're going to have changed someone's eternity. That's ridiculous. Pastor Forrest, that this is a chili cook-off. How in the world could a chili cook-off do something like that? I don't know. We're going to try. But it's that ridiculous nature of doing things like that, that ridiculous nature that wakes up our intimacy with Jesus. So here's my challenge for you this week. I am challenging you on Saturday night, come to the chili cook-off. All of y'all, come. Everybody come. If you're a good cook, and only if you're a good cook, consider entering the competition. As Jay told you earlier, there's a huge prize on the line. Huge. Huge. Come enter. Why do we want you to enter your chili in the cook-off? Because you're going to have a chance to meet an awful lot of people. You're going to have an opportunity to love on them and visit with them. And which we actually sent out a flyer to everybody in the neighborhood here and invited them to our chili cook-off. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to think that if we invite a bunch of people to come to the chili cook-off, a couple people will come. It's ridiculous. I get it. I understand. But that's what makes a lot of sense in this situation. The ridiculousness of what we're trying to do is in line with how God does things. He's presented us with the good news. It doesn't make any sense at all. So, your challenge this week, invite everyone you know, come yourself, bring some chili to the chili cook-off. If you're here this morning and you have come to the place and you understand that you need to repent, just do it. Just talk to God. You can talk to him anytime. You can talk to him at any time and just say, you know what, God, my relationship with you is not as tight as it should have been. I'm not as intimate with you as I know I should be. You just repent. He will welcome you with open arms because he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He does. He really does want that. If you're here this morning and you have never placed your faith and trust in Christ, come up and see me after the service. I'll be up front here and I'll be more than happy to share with you how you can have an intimate relationship with God for eternity. We're going to real quickly move into a time of communion. So if you have not, if you didn't grab one of these on your way in, just raise your hand and we'll make sure that we get one to you. This is the Lord's Supper is kind of how it's been termed, and the Lord's Supper, it gives that indication that this is something that the Lord instituted, Jesus instituted for us. It's his table, it's not our table. So if you were here this morning and you're not from this church, or this is not your normal church, you are more than welcome to participate with us. But what we're going to do is in a few moments, we're going to remind ourselves of the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for our sins. And we're going to remember that. This is an opportunity for us to keep front and center why we can have an intimate relationship with God. If you're not a believer yet, this won't make any sense for you. So it's probably best to let this time pass. You take off the top and expose the white wafer. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed," talking about Jesus, he took some bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. As is, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." What Jesus would do later that night is he would allow himself to be arrested and he would be beaten. And soon after that, his blood would be spilt on the ground. And the imagery there is that his blood being shed provided the way for us to have our sins forgiven. That weight of guilt that is on every human being at some point in their life, Jesus said, "I can lift that because of my death on the cross." He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. He concluded saying, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
All right, everybody. We're going to sing just a little bit more before we send you off this morning. So let's go ahead and stand together.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Sing holy.
Holy, holy.
to see you. I want to see you. Yes, we do.
Now, all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generation, forever and ever. Amen. See you Saturday.